Good morning. The last week or two, I've been working on occasions with a man named Marshall McLuhan. And Marshall McLuhan is known for his recent book, Understanding Media, The Extensions of Man, and the previous book, The Gutenberg Galaxy. Well, Marshall McLuhan is a man who has been considered one of unusual ability in looking into the present world, our present-day world, and just observing what is happening. And the other day, I was speaking with him, and I wondered what thoughts he had about radio today. And I think one should not look at these thoughts as pronouncements, but really as the free association of a man who is good at observing what's going on around us. And here I asked him, what do you think about radio today in relation to what it is and what it could be?
It's a new medium, as in comparison to its earlier, say, use in the 30s. It's in its transistor uses, the youngsters use it as a space maker to create their own little space bubbles and to create a private world for themselves. And they do this whether they carry the transistor on the street or use it at home. But there's another peculiarity. The radio can be used to create intense visual experiences. In other words, when you hear a sound, a strong, clear sound, you tend to provide a visual image for it. Normally. When youngsters today are faced with homework requiring lots of visual intensity, they find that by turning the radio up, it helps them do their homework. Whereas in the 1920s or 30s, people would have found this an intolerable interference with their homework. In the new generation of sensibility, radio can actually be used to intensify the visual needs or the visual experience to the point where the homework can be done. Kids now write on essays. Couldn't finish this this essay. The radio was busted.
Now, you're relating the use of radio to kids. Do you think it affects adults the same way or differently?
Well, you can see that the one of the major uses of radio today is in the motor car news and weather coverage. And this type of service, the use of radio as a straight service, has gone up in scale. The this applies also to the non-commercial programming, which in a sense is a tailor-made private service for select audiences instead of just a general diffused broadcast for everybody. The non-commercial station tends to zero in on a tailor-made service with specially selected programming. This, though, is not unrelated to this transistor habit of using radio to create a little private space bubble.
Can you explain that in any greater detail?
Oh, well, you can, you see, by making certain sounds, you can enclose yourself in auditory space. Auditory space is a field of simultaneous relations. It's quite unlike any other form of space created by the other senses. But it is sometimes referred to by psychologists as a space bubble. It's a little wraparound. Just as much as clothing or building, a space bubble made of sound can be a wraparound. And if you notice, the youngsters today turn up radio to a volume where they obviously do not hear it. They sit on it. It's like foam rubber. They punch it or they bounce around on it, but they don't listen to that sound. They use it as a direct physical experience.
Well, those are some of the thoughts and associations of Marshall McLuhan, author of Understanding Media, The Extensions of Man. A book many people are reading today. See you soon.
You were saying that the new technology...
The natural tendency is to use a new technology for the old job. perfect instance of it now with the computer. We have it being assigned to card catalogs and librarian filing systems. And the new possibilities of the computer as a retrieval system for all sorts of fantastic pattern recognitions and discoveries and so on is being completely ignored. But sooner or later will probably be discovered. But this always using the rearview mirror every time we encounter any situation is an age-old human habit. And you see, even with Plato, the first content of the written word was the old oral tradition, the Socratic one. And this happens with print, that nearly all the books printed for the first two centuries were medieval books, old manuscript books that had already found their public. But the habit of always using the new for the old work, it has even deeper implications. It seems to be an attempt to find security by translating anything that is new into something that is familiar. People feel better if they can succeed in translating new experiences into old experiences, which are more reassuring, more comforting, more familiar. And the only difficulty is that this ensures that we never encounter new situations except in the form of self-deception. And this is particularly true of our own new media, which have come upon us so suddenly. They're all new. As you mentioned, radio. Why don't you best phrase that question again? All right.
What do you think about radio today, or what radio could be, or what radio is?
This is something interesting because
talking about learning theory.
Yes, the it relates to this using the new to do the old job. Is really another way of saying what learning theory has been telling us for many moons, centuries. That the only way to learn is to go from what you already know to something you don't know. And this, in Plato's terms, led him to suppose that really all we could ever know was something we had once known in another existence, a déjà vu. And it seems to be just as meaningful and more explainable to say that this need to go from the known to the unknown is what prompts us to go from the unknown to the known whenever we encounter the unknown. This habit of going from new experiences back to familiar experiences as a way of explaining them to ourselves leads to various forms of classification and dismissal. You quickly banish uncomfortable experiences this way by classifying them in old patterns. And it seems to be a very deeply seated need, and it would seem to be based on just plain insecurity and human panic almost in the presence of new situations, new environments. But it's interesting to see it being occurring in the world of entertainment. Say, a picture like Bonanza is a 19th century image that seems to satisfy 20th century suburban minds as if it were an image of themselves. This is our way of life. This retrospect, I call it the rearview mirror image of life. A retrospect or rearview mirror image as a way of navigating is not new, but it's not a very effective strategy either. But it's worth checking out against this strange learning theory that we must go from the known in order to get to the unknown. And would really just seem to add up to the fact that whenever we are confronted with the unknown, we just, with great ingenuity, translate it into something old. in a retrospect.
It's interesting. The people who navigate through the rearview mirror are also fence builders.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the people who look ahead are generally breaking down the barrier, the divisions, the fences.
I have a friend who says the future of the future is the present. Anything that is ever going to appear in the future is already present if you have enough wit and perception to seek it out.
Could you tell me about the title of your book and not for publication? I mean, I wouldn't, but just so we have it on tape.
This book that Ralph Baldwin and I are writing is tentatively titled A Message for the Fish. And it relates to this very matter we were talking about, because we have another friend, Father Culkin, S.J., up at Fordham, who is in the habit of saying, we don't know who discovered water, but we know it wasn't a fish. And this led us in turn to say, we are writing a message for the fish, that is, a message for those who are blinded or blocked in their perceptions by their environments. And we think it's a rather useful title. It has a certain flip quality that may annoy some. But it's basically descriptive of what we're doing.
Okay, so that was Marsh McLuhan in 1966 when he first got together with Tony Schwartz in May 1966, and we heard him talking about rock music, one of the first subjects that I guess Tony was interested in McLuhan commenting on.